The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Then you can welcome at least three people and tell them Happy Easter. Happy Easter. Shake people around you with a smile. Very good smile. And tell them Happy, Happy Easter. And then you may please be seated. Praise the Lord. I welcome you into this glorious service this morning. And I trust God that you will never go back home the same in Jesus' name. As you can see that many hundreds of our members have traveled, we trust God that they will all return back safely in the name of Jesus. Many who might be on their journeys today, tomorrow, and all Tuesday, the Lord will bring them back safely in Jesus' name. Let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. I welcome you back into our main auditorium. We used the smaller auditorium and the overflow last week. We want to thank God for bringing us back after the work. We apologize that some of the fans are not working this morning and some of the lightnings and all. We are still trying to tidy that up. We'll try to finish that up today, tomorrow, so that from Wednesday we can have all that. I pray that the Lord will bless each one in the name of Jesus. Unveiling the blessings and lessons of Calvary. Unveiling the blessings and lessons of Calvary. Calvary, Calvary will not be in vain. 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 My prayer for somebody here this morning is that the cross of Calvary will not be in vain in your life in Jesus' name. Our Lord Jesus Christ died and rose up on the third day. And I feel that we are indebted to Him for this. It's a great, great price. In John 14 verse 6, He said, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. Also in John 15 verse 3, the Bible says, greater love had no man than this. John 15, greater love had no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. John 15 verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I also loved you. So our Father is a God that loves us. And in that John 15 verse 3, the second part, it was talking about how deep the love of God is for us. And there are many lessons we can learn from what Jesus has done for us. And that's what we'll be looking at this morning. But quickly, before we go into that, we'll be looking at what are the benefits. Christ's death and resurrection. What are my benefits? What do I stand to gain? Because his death is not a show. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. His death is not a show. John 15, 13. Greater love had no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. So what I'm saying this morning is that God has a particular reason. There is a reason why he died. And I'll be showing you 7 of those reasons this morning. And I trust God that your life will never be the same again. Open your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 5 verse 12. Revelations chapter 5. I'll be reading verse 12. Revelation chapter 5. I'll be reading verse 12. He says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. This blessing stated in this Revelation 5 verse 12 depicts to us some of the major reasons why Christ died. His death is not a show. It is to collect something that the devil has taken. And number one thing that Jesus went to collect back from the devil, which he stole from Adam and Eve then, is power. Someone say power. So you are no longer meant to be a powerless Christian. In Psalm 66 verse 3, the Bible says, through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves unto you. So enemies will not submit until they see power. Enemies will not submit until they see power. 66:3. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves unto thee. I say to somebody here this morning that the enemies will submit to you in Jesus' name. In 1 John 3 verse 8, the Bible says, for this purpose the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So God, Christ, came to receive the power back and to give it to you. From today, you will never be a powerless Christian. I say, from today, you will never be a powerless Christian. From today, you will never be counted as a powerless Christian. The death of Jesus is the celebration of the receipt of power for us. It is the celebration of the receipt of power for us. The second benefit that the death of Jesus brought for us is riches. In 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, they say, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he was made poor, that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. So Christ was already rich. But Satan took away our riches through his deception. And Christ went to the grave to take back the riches from him. And that's why I speak to somebody here this morning. Poverty will never be your friend again forever. Amen. I say poverty and lack will never be your friend away forever. Amen. And that's why this morning I curse every root of wretchedness and lack in anyone's life. And I decree that from today it will never come around your life again in Jesus' name. Amen. He died that you might be rich. He rose to bring you surplus and to bring you abundance. And this is obtainable through the covenant. Through the covenant. Through your consistent work of covenant with him. You can easily access and retrieve riches. Number three benefit that Christ has brought for us this morning is the benefit of wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. Let me hear you say wisdom. The wisdom of God is available through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 19. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 19 explains to us the importance of this wisdom of God. This wisdom of God is superior, and is superior to the wisdom of the world. Is superior to the wisdom of the world. Is superior to every other kind of wisdom. Somebody is here this morning. I see you assessing a new level of wisdom. I see you assessing a new level of wisdom. Let me hear your loudest amen. It says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. The wisdom of God, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. That is, God is the owner of wisdom. According to Proverbs 2 verse 6. He's the one that gives wisdom. He's the one that gives wisdom. Devil stole the wisdom of Adam and Eve. And Christ died. Say, for the Lord giveth wisdom. God will give you wisdom today. I say, God will give you wisdom today. I say, God will give you wisdom today. Nobody here will act foolishly again. Let me hear your loudest amen. Say, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understand. He giveth. He giveth. He giveth. He giveth. He giveth. He will give you wisdom today. I say, God will give you wisdom today. Let me hear your amen. He will give you wisdom today. In the name of Jesus. So wisdom is from God. He is the giver of wisdom. He is the one that gives wisdom. In James 1 verse 5, he says, if any lack wisdom, let him ask from God that giveth unto all men liberally and unbraideth not. He giveth to every man who can ask for wisdom. He has wisdom with him and he can give wisdom. The death and resurrection of Jesus is your escape route from acting foolishly. Any Christian that still acts foolishly despite the death and resurrection of Jesus is nailing him to the cross the second time. The death and the resurrection of Jesus is your escape route from misbehavior. Is your escape route from misbehavior. Number four benefit is the benefit of strength. The death and resurrection of Jesus qualifies you for strength. Someone say strength. So, no, nothing like weakness should be found around your life again. Nothing like being tired should be found around you again. Somebody is here this morning, the last time you were weak is the last time you'll be weak. Amen. The last time you suffered with doctors and you suffered with nurses, with multiple injections on your bum bum, is the last time you ever suffer it in Jesus' name. Amen. Except on the platform of childbearing, you will not need to lay your back on any hospital bed again forever. Amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. Amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. Amen. In Isaiah 40 verse 31, Isaiah 40 verse 31, it said, those that wait upon the Lord, he will renew their strength. If you can wait upon the Lord, he will renew your strength. Those that wait upon the Lord, he will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. You will not faint too. Amen. When others are fainting, you will not faint. Amen. I say, when others are fainting, you will not faint. I can't hear your loudest amen. Why? Christ has received strength for you. Christ has went, he went on a long journey of 3 days to the grave and collected the strength that the devil took and gave it back to you. Somebody's here, as you leave this service today, new strength is coming for you. In your bones, in your back, in every part of your body, new strength is coming for you. Some of you, you will be amazed at the things you'll be doing from today. I can't hear your amen. Amen. Why? His death is for you to be strong. His death is to make you 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 strong. You will remain eternally strong. Some of you, at 120, you will still be walking without any crutches. You will still be walking without any walking stick. At 120, your children will not need to board. You will not be a concern to any of your children. I can't hear your amen. 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 At 120, your eyes will not go dim. You will not need to use glasses. Let me hear your amen. The Bible speaking about Moses in Deuteronomy 34, verse 9, I believe. This man was so strong that at 120, he was still so strong. He was not feeble. His natural strength was not abated. He was not sick. He was a man very strong. That will be your portion in Jesus' name. You will be very, very strong. Number five is honor. 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 God, Jesus died that you might receive honor. That you might receive honor. In 1 Samuel 2 verse 30b. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30b. The Bible is speaking. He says that he that honors me, I will honor. He that despises me, I will lightly esteem. So Christ died to make you an honorable person. So all these people that we are seeing about calling themselves honorable, you are actually the real honorable. Hello? I say you are the real honorable. Why? Because somebody bestowed honor on you. Somebody gave you his honor. In John 12 verse 26. John chapter 12 verse 26. Speaking there. He says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. The Almighty God will honor you today. The death and resurrection of Jesus is your escape route from dishonor. Dishonor. Is your escape route from dishonor. From today, in your family and in your business and everywhere you find yourself, men will go out of their way to honor you. I say men will go out of their way to honor you. I can't hear your amen. So the death and resurrection of Jesus qualifies you for honor. Qualifies you for honor. And number six benefit is glory. Someone say glory. Glory. You have been destined for glory. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. And as we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. So God, Christ died to remove you from lack of glory. He put glory on you. You remember when that immediately that Adam and Eve lost the glory, they were stripped naked. Is there anybody that can be walking on the streets with nakedness and you say this person has glory? You can't say so. Anybody walking on the street without clothes on, definitely they will say this person must be a mad person. This person must be a mad person. My wife showed me something that he sent to her from somewhere abroad, from one country. Is it, I mean, which country was that? One funny country like this, where a pastor instructed the members to come to church next week Sunday naked, that they might appear before their maker naked. And they did. Both male and female, they sat down like this, and they were. Judgment day will be a very serious day. Okay, if somebody wants to watch naked people, maybe there are different ways of watching than for you to tell your members to come to church naked. Will the pastor be naked? He will be naked too. Birds of the same feather flock together. He will be naked too. Or if he's not naked, then the people must be the most stupid people in the world. Praise the Lord. So, and as we all beholding as in a glass, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. So, the death of Jesus proclaims glory on you. That's why somebody is here this morning. As you leave this service this morning, everyone that sees you must see the glory of God upon your life. I say everybody that sees you must see the glory of God upon your life. When people see you, they will be aghast that you are the same person. I can hear your loudest amen. I can hear your loudest amen. From today, everybody will be shocked at about the outcome of your life. In the name of Jesus. So, God, Jesus' death and resurrection is to bring glory to you. Haggai chapter 2 verse 7 to 9. Because as people see you, I was telling the pastors yesterday at our pastors meeting last night, at our prayer meeting, I told them, I said, I believe that this ministry is moving to another level of glory. Let me hear your amen. Amen. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Let me hear your loudest amen. Amen. If you will partake in that peace, let me hear your amen. If you will partake in that peace, let me hear your loudest amen. Amen. This is one of the major benefits of Calvary. The placement of glory upon the life of a Christian. The placement of glory upon the life of... And number seven benefit is blessings. 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 According to Galatians chapter 3 verse 14. Galatians chapter 3 all the way to verse 14. 14. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So, one of the major things that Christ died for is to ensure that you don't lack blessings. Don't think that we are just celebrating for nothing. There is a purpose for his death. There is a reason for his death. And it is to add color to your life. Anywhere you see blessings, you know that this one has color. Any life where you see blessings, you see color. Somebody's here today, you will never lack blessings again. Yeah. you will never lack blessings again. I say you will never lack blessings again. Quickly this morning, what are the lessons we can learn from the death and resurrection of Jesus? I just showed you the benefits. But what are the lessons? What are the lessons? There are some lessons to learn. There are some things to learn from the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What are we to learn? Number one lesson from Calvary is the lesson of obedience. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. Jesus was obedient unto death. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. One of the major lessons of Calvary is that only the obedient can be blessed. This was a proposal from God. We have to save these people. We have to change. We have to take power from the devil. Who will go for us? My son, will you go for us? You say, yes, I will go. Whatever you say is what I'm going to do. Whatever you send me, I will go. Anything you want me to do, I mean, this is one of the things that are lacking today in the body of Christ. Obedience. Obedience of faith is what brings about the blessings of faith. Only the obedient can taste the blessings of Calvary. Only the obedient can enjoy the blessings of Calvary. Somebody is here this morning. A new grace for obedience comes upon you in the name of Jesus. A baptism of the spirit of obedience comes for you this morning in the name of Jesus. Let me hear your loudest amen. In Job 36 verse 11, the Bible says, if they obey and serve me, if they obey and serve me, if they can obey and serve me, then they will eat the good of the land. If they obey and serve me, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. If they can obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So obey him. Just like he obeyed God. Number two lesson from Calvary is the lesson of humility. Someone say humility. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 6 all through to verse 8 shows us a man of eternal humility called Jesus. Very humble. Look at this now, everybody. He said, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation. He had the reputation of the Son of God in royalty and in affluence. He descended. He came low for the sake of you and I. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Can you imagine Donald Trump leaving America and coming to Ajegunle to work as a houseboy in the house of a dry cleaner? Donald Trump left White House, flew to Nigeria, left the airport and went to Ajegunle, dry cleaner that just started business 2 weeks, is the boy of the dry cleaner. What a humble savior. To leave royalty and affluence for nonsense. Nonsense. Born in the manger. So humble. And friends, I'd like to tell you this morning that only the humble can taste the benefit of Calvary. Only the humble can assess the best that Calvary has to offer. Every one of us know that God always assists, but God resists the proud. God's work is to assist. In James chapter 4, verse 6, he said, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he said, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. media. Do you have speakers in your office? James 4 verse 6. For he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisted the proud, but giveth more grace unto. So God is the one pushing down a person whose heart is lifted. I'm too much. I'm just too much. There's nobody like me. I'm just too big. Who are you to talk to me like that? Nonsense. Do you know who I am? Do you know my capacity and my capability? Do you know my educational qualification and content? Such people don't taste the benefit of Calvary. Calvary benefits are for the humble, the meek. People that can do anything for God. Not people whose hearts are lifted to vanity. It's a new day for somebody here today. New grace for humility comes for you this morning in Jesus' name. As a new grace for humility comes for you this morning in Jesus' name. No, even if one wants to be proud, not with God. And apart from that, there's no reason to be proud, because pride is the father of destruction. There is an end for the proud. It is called destruction. But you will never be destroyed. So relax. Relax. Just relax. Just cool down. Cool down. Cool down. Just relax first. Number three lesson from Calvary is the lesson of love and sacrifice. In John 15 verse 13, John 15:13, he said, greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life. I mean, I know there are many husband and wife here today, but is there a husband here today or a wife here that said, now, kill me, let my husband be living, or leave my wife? It is then you will see that hey, to die for us. What is a risk? Oh, what about if he did not raise this the third day? What about if God did not raise him up the third day? God said, I will raise you up the third day. Say, are you sure? Daddy, are you sure? Daddy, are you sure? Say, I will raise you. You know I will not lie. Okay? Or you kill me. What about on the third day they shook him? He did not rise. A husband tells the wife, oh yeah, they want to shoot. You stay in front. Take the bullet. Don't worry. No matter what happens, I will stay with you. Just stay. No, wife will stay. It's a show of love. Only those that can sacrifice. Many will chat, I can die for God. I can do this. There was a story of a church whereby a service was going on like this. And two people, non-members of the church, wanted to test the church. And went to the back, like going to our children's church here or the church office and all that. And changed and brought out their guns. And came in through the window, one through here, one through here. Has anybody that knows that he loves Jesus, stay. Anybody that knows that he is ready to die, just stay. Any other person, we are clear. All the windows of the church broke. Everybody started taking flight. Beep, 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 everybody. Husband left wife, wife left husband. They even forgot children. Everybody, equal. Only the pastor and I think two people or so were able to see all that. And then they unmasked and told the pastor, you can't see. Can you see? They're not clean anybody. You can see the depth of hypocrisy of the people you put in your church. Anyway, I don't blame them, because many of us, your faith level has not reached that level. What am I saying this morning? It takes sacrifice to lay down your life. And that is what Christ did. That is why you and I must be eternally grateful. You have done what no man can do. You will do what no man can. You have done, you have done what no man can do. You will do what no man can do. I have no other God but you. I have no other God but you.
So, it's a sacrifice that you cannot imagine. So, what kind of love is this that a man should lay down his life for his friends? This is a call to sacrifice. Calvary is a call to sacrificial living. Sacrificial love between husband and wife, between father and mother, between children and parents. It's a call to sacrificial love. Number four, lesson of Calvary is the lesson of submission. Submission. I mean, looking at the story of Christ, Christ could have said, I'm not doing again. The Bible says that because of his submission, that was why God lifted him. The Bible speaking in Philippians chapter 2 verse 9. He said, wherefore, that is as a result of his submission. He said, wherefore had God highly exalted him and given him a name. He submitted his name before. God gave him another name bigger than before. He gave him a name which is above every name. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things underneath. This is a lesson of submission. Many of us have not really submitted our life to God. You are still holding on to your life. Until you submit your life, there is a level to which you can go with God. That's why I say that he that loveth father, mother, house, children more than me is not worthy of me. He said, if you really want to follow me, he said, carry your burdens and follow me. Carry your challenge. I'm not saying I have a challenge, so because of that I can't follow you. Submission, total submission. In Matthew 11 verse 28 to 29, say, come unto me all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Submit to me. That's what he's saying there. I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I'm ready to help you, but I'm waiting for you to submit to me. New grace to submit to God comes for somebody here today. I say new grace to submit to God comes for somebody here today. You know, many people think that when you submit to God that you lose. You're not losing anything. You are only gaining a lot. If I submit more to God now, all the things I used to do before, the way I used to enjoy my life, you will enjoy your life, but it's in a different way. Hello? You will enjoy your life, but not in the same way. Things I used to do, I do them no more. Things I used to do, I do them no more. I do them no more. What a great change since I'm born again. Great change since I'm born again. Oh, oh, oh. Great change since I'm born again. Oh, great change since I'm born again. Just a great change since I'm born again. So submission just allows God to use you. He allows God to do what he wants to do with you. I see somebody submitting his life to God afresh this morning. In the name of Jesus. Number five, lesson from Calvary is the lesson of restoration by violence. In Matthew 11 verse 12, the Bible says, since the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violence take it. Jesus went by force to the devil. He went with fierce anger. Somebody say anger. He went with fierce anger to dislodge the devil and his cohorts. He ensured that he mesmerized them. He ensured that he disgraced them. He ensured that he showed them that they are nothing, and he took the power away from them. And that's why in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, he said he had made us, he had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He raised us up and he made us to sit in the same place with him. He took the power through violence. That was why there was an earthquake that time. There was a shaking because there was a war. The devil said, you can't take this power. Say, I will take it. What do you mean? And there was a slug of power. Eventually, Christ won and came back with the power victorious. And went straight back to heaven to report to the Father and said, the work you gave me, I have gone and I have conquered. Pray for somebody here today. The work God has given to you, you will not fail. Amen. I say you will not fail. Amen. I say you will not fail. Amen. Until I hear, well done. Until I hear, well done. I will never, never stop my journey halfway, halfway.
Until I hear, well done.
Well done.
Until I hear, well done.
Oh, until I am well done, I will never, never stop. Halfway.
One more time.
Well done.
Until I am well done.
Until I am well done.
I will never, never stop. My journey halfway. Until I am well done.
You will not stop your journey halfway. I say you will not stop your journey halfway. You will not be tired halfway down the journey. Let me hear your loudest amen. Number six, lesson from Calvary is the lesson of sowing and reaping. I mean, the lecture on Calvary is incomplete without the teaching on sowing and reaping. In Genesis 8 verse 22, Genesis chapter 8 verse 22, speaking there, while the earth remained, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. As long as this world is alive, you must give before you can receive. That's why the Bible says that he that soweth sparingly shall what? Reap sparingly. That's why in Luke 6 verse 38, it says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For the same measure you give shall be measured back to you. Christ gave his life to reap all of us all over the world. He submitted his life. That's why the Bible says, until a corn of wheat dies, it abides alone. Until you give, there is nothing like receiving. I checked my concordance some time ago. I think I told you that. One of the most common words in the Bible is offering. If you have a concordance or if you have a phone that can just type offering, you will see how many times offering comes out in the Bible. Offering, 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 offering. And you begin to wonder, why is there so much? Because of this law. If Christ did not die, he cannot receive all of us here. His sacrifice of his blood is speaking. What does that tell you? If you are going to operate under the blessings of Calvary, you must be a giver. You must give to the extent that heaven knows. The Bible says that when you give here, I say heaven receives it there. You are giving here. Heaven is a mystery. It's a mystery. He said, you give here. He said, heaven receives it there. Calvary shows us that giving must be a part and parcel of a Christian life. Giving must be eternally entrenched into our spirit. Bible says it is better to give than to receive. Bible says in Proverbs 11 verse 24, says, there is he that scattered and yet increased, there is he that withholded more than his need, then he turned to poverty. So if you are a giver, your prosperity is sure. It is sure. And if you are a non-giver, the other side is sure. Nobody can help anybody to be prosperous. It is to you according to your givings. And number seven, where we stop this morning, lesson from Calvary is that nothing is impossible with God. How can somebody die? Not just a natural death, or they pierce him. They nailed him. They ensured he died and they buried him. How can he rise the third day? Somebody that is, it's not as if he was poisoned. He was saying maybe the poison now lost. He was killed. As in mercilessly, without mercy. And he still came back to life. What does that lesson teach us? It teaches us that with God, nothing can be impossible. What is that thing you are trusting God for? What is that thing that you are believing God for? What is that thing that you are trusting God to do for you? What is that area of life that you are challenged? I speak to you this morning that God will intervene in a mighty way in the name of Jesus. In Luke 1 verse 37, as I begin to round up this morning, the Bible says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. So, the word impossible doesn't exist in the dictionary of God. That's why I know that this morning, that thing that looks as if cannot happen, it will happen for you suddenly this morning. I say it will happen for you suddenly this morning. 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 Somebody was dead 4 days. Lazarus, he came back to life. A lady called Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, never had any contact with a man, yet got pregnant. A man called Peter threw the net inside the from his boat. And I haven't not been able to catch fish all night, but on one command, fishes entered. They were begging themselves, I want to die, I want to die, I want to die, I want to die. I must enter this net, I must die, I must die. Before that time, they were running away. That's why I know that somebody is here today. Blessings will be rushing to your net. Blessings will be rushing to your net. Blessings will be rushing to your net. Jesus walking into a wedding, and then they said the wine finished. He said, what? Wine finished? He said, fill this pot with water. Fill it with water. I said, draw it out. Immediately the best wine, non-alcoholic, I can confirm that. The best wine you can talk about came forth. Why? Because nothing is impossible for God to do. I'm here this morning to tell you, my brothers and my sisters, that as a direct result of the price of Calvary, a new you will emerge this month. I say a new you will emerge this month. As you go to your offices from Tuesday, brand new testimonies will be waiting for you. They are going to send for you where it matters. I said they are going to send for you where it matters. Let me hear your loudest amen.
Wow, I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878. or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.